prepare yourself. You're about to listen to Super Gamescast 64 with your host, Trey Mitchell, and your other hosts, Austin Guttery and Connor Reisenhoover.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, failure!
What is up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Super Gamescast 64 podcast. It is National Radio Day today, guys.
Congratulations.
So, congratulations to the radio.
We're actively killing it.
Yeah.
By doing a podcast, actually, if you think about it.
They said that we couldn't do it, and here we are doing it.
What do you mean they said we couldn't do it?
TV, that's it.
They said we couldn't do it. The radio people said we can't do podcasts because you need to go to radio school for 20 years before you can have your own show. But look at us now. We have a podcast.
We do whatever we want.
We're flying
whatever high. We want, whenever we want.
That's right. And what we choose to do is talk video games.
We're talking all the hottest new video games. We're talking
this is
Fortnite.
A Fall Guys podcast.
We're talking Fall Guys. We're talking Marvel demo. We're talking Tony Hawk 1 and 2. We actually didn't get those demos. So we can't really talk about those demos because we did not get them.
Did our friends
but Trey can go back.
Devolver Digital give them to us?
No, they can't give us those. They don't have those demos.
Maybe if you go back and play the one from the PlayStation 2,
uh-huh.
You can review it and you can tell us how the demo was.
Okay, I'll review the PS2 demo for the new one.
You know what game I would like you to review?
What?
I would like for you to play the spiritual sequel to Metal Gear Solid, Sneak King. the Burger King game where you play
joking,
as the king.
But the actual spiritual sequel to Metal Gear Solid is Chicken Run.
What?
Which is a Metal Gear Solid ripoff. You remember the movie Chicken Run?
Yes, I'm familiar with the movie Chicken Run, which
well,
is done by the
game.
Same guy who did Wallace and Gromit.
Yes. They had a game for Chicken Run, and it's just Metal Gear Solid.
That's really weird.
Yeah.
I don't know that I like that for some reason.
Why not? It kind of makes sense. That was the whole
I don't
plot,
know.
Right?
Did you ever play any of the Burger King games?
I know about Sneak King. I did not play Sneak King, but I've heard about Sneak King.
What about the Pepsi game? The Pepsi Man
no,
game?
No, not the Pepsi
you
Man
mean the
game.
The 7-Up Man.
No, it's
instead
Pepsi
of the spot,
Man.
The cool spot. What was cool spot?
What?
You would know because you're never invited. Oh. I kid. This is I'm playing a character for the podcast, Trey. That was
he
me
left.
In character.
He's gone.
Oh, no.
You guys can well, do the Austin, podcast by yourself.
Well, Austin, what did you play this week?
I played...
Nothing. Connor, what did you play this week? Nothing.
Ooh,
in the podcast.
Dang.
Is Trey too bitter to do the podcast today?
Hey, Trey, are you okay, bud?
Great. Go ahead.
Can you name the other two games in the Burger King game series?
I know Sneak King. I don't know the other two. Wasn't Sneak King made by Bannon?
What?
Jeff no, Bannon or whatever his name is.
Think
the guy
it was
just got
made
arrested
by...
today.
No, I don't think
Steve
it was
Bannon.
Made...
Let me look this up.
I don't think it was made by Steve Bannon. The other two games, in case you're wondering, are...
Yeah, okay, so... Steve Bannon had a hand in development of Sneak King. So,
that's one of the weirdest things I have ever
Small media
heard.
Properties from, among others, Michael Milken, Terry Samel, and Doug Lemon, the latter carrying residuals from Frog's Prime Teen Soap Opera, The O.C. I don't know.
Well, the other ones
yeah,
were
Steve
Pocket,
Bannon was behind it.
Pocket Bike Racers and Big Bumpin'.
Okay.
That was it. Speaking of games that were ultimately forgettable, but made a lasting impact on me, Did you guys ever play the Shrek Super Smash Brothers ripoff?
No, I didn't know there was one.
No, I want to play that though.
It has every single character, like every single character, like just. Did you know there's a Cyclops in the Shrek universe?
No.
Because he's in the game. Okay, we need to find this game, the Shrek Smash Brothers game, because
and the Chicken Run game.
Okay, I'll put them on the list because, dude. Like Humpty Dumpty's in this game. It's wild.
What about the three pigs?
They are in it. The game is called Shrek Super Slam, by the way.
Oh, I do remember that.
It came out in 2005. They're ready for the characters? Here we go. Shrek, Donkey, Gingerbread Man, Princess Fiona. Fiona as an ogre.
Okay.
Unlockable characters. The Big Bad Wolf. Anthrax the Unicorn, Cyclops.
Oh, you're not even doing the other. You're missing the other side because you got Puss in Boots, you got Prince Charming, you got.
Oh,
Pinocchio,
I apologize.
You got Red Riding Hood, you got the Black Knight. Where's Lord Farquaad?
Well, buddy, they went ahead and did Humpty Dumpty and Captain Hook. And do you guys remember Luna the Witch?
Yeah, maybe
from Shrek 2.
Quasimodo.
This might be just Shrek 2, so I guess he wasn't here, Farquaad.
Because
that's disappointing. Why isn't Farquaad in this?
Dronky's in it as well.
Drunk Donkey?
You know what the best part about this is, though? Like, this, on Metacritic, this game has like a 70 out of 100.
I'm sure it wasn't bad. It was a DS game.
No. So it came out for Xbox, GameCube, PC, PS2, DS, and GBA.
You know what games are kind of cool to look into as well around this era were the Harry Potter games.
Chamber of Secrets was pretty good.
I really liked that one. And you could fly around Hogwarts and stuff, and it was pretty neat.
I have never seen a game that takes longer to load than that for PS2. We used to play it at my friend's house. It was 10 minutes between levels.
It took very long to load, but the music was really soothing and good, and I just remember really vibing with that game, man. I don't know how to even describe it, because like I don't even know if I would say like it, but it's you know, one of those games that just you felt it, you know what I mean? You that sounds really weird right now, but like you really enjoyed the ambience of it. I guess
I pronounce it ambiance.
Yeah, dude, flying around was awesome.
Trey, what'd you play this week?
So besides Metal Gear 5, I will talk about that for a little bit. I did play a little bit of Undertale last night.
Oh, how far did you get?
Just a little bit. Yep. Not that far. I don't even think I'm an hour in. But it's weird because I did start it before, and then I deleted my save, but I don't think it really ever deletes your save, right? Because it was, I got Flowey saying, "How do you not remember me?" And I didn't get that far the first time. I got maybe 20 minutes in, so I don't think anything changed. But I now get what your spider thing in your Twitter profile was.
Oh yeah, all proceeds go to real spiders.
Yeah, it's a very Austin humor kind of game. You know, everything's real cute, cutesy, and all
thanks.
That. Yeah. I'm not saying you're cute. I'm saying some of your humor is kind of cute.
Thank you.
Yeah, and it's funny. I don't necessarily like all the random encounters, but that's just RPG, right?
Right.
You know. So I got a question, Austin.
Okay. I'm your guy.
Do I need to fight some to bring my HP up?
Need to fight what?
Do I need to fight some of the creatures to get more skill points or whatever to make my health go up?
Your damage done and your health are raised through items.
Items,
yeah,
okay.
So you'll find them, and they won't be obvious that they're items for that, but it'll be you'll find someone who
I got monster candy.
That's really helpful. That's good for restoring HP during fights. You'll just have random dialogue things that kind of clue you into the fact that you grabbed an item from a certain person or something, and then they'll be in your inventory, and they're not going to be like super obvious that they raise your attack or your health, but equip them, and they will help out.
Okay. I think I died once.
Okay.
But, yeah, that little attack thing is kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's like a bullet hell.
You have to avoid it.
Mixed in.
Yeah. And then, it's neat.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty funny. It's, I'm just having to try to get my mind off all the weird kind of fandom stuff that was around it for a little bit of time.
Yeah,
around
you should have been going into it fresh. I'm sorry that you already know all the stuff about it and everything.
Yeah. But you know what? That's just, it will never be my favorite game ever because that mystery is gone.
Right.
And I think that's a big...
Yeah, that's what was so good about it.
That's why The Last of Us didn't hit me like it hit a lot of people, because I already knew everything about it.
Right.
But The Last of Us 2 hit me a little bit more. Just because when you hear about something, you know about something, you play it, that impact isn't there. But it's enjoyable. You know, it's... I like kind of seeing what everyone was talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, I know a lot about it already, but and I think you maybe helped me to kind of actually play it.
Okay.
Because otherwise I think I would have just kind of blown it off. Oh my god, that's a big ass fucking bill. $137 for utilities this month.
For all your utilities combined?
Yeah.
Dude, that's so low.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, we're splitting it between three.
Dang.
It's still a lot of money.
Yeah.
Dude, I'll tell you, I'm sorry to be on a tangent right here, but that freelance stuff I do is like helped me out so much this month.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Glad to hear it.
I've been getting a lot of work. And... anyway, but yeah, Undertale's neat. All right, so I kind of finished Metal Gear Solid 5.
What do you mean, kind of?
This is the second Metal Gear Solid game that you've quote-unquote kind of finished.
Yeah, they're both pretty similar that way. So you get the... You complete it. You complete the main story. And you get the credits. But there's like chapter 2. And this one even more so than Peace Walker. There's a lot more story in the second part. Actually, there's a ton. Like, there's a lot of answers to things. Like, certain characters, you kind of find out who they are, what's going on. So it's important. It's not just there's some extra stuff you can do. It seems like this is actually important to play, this extra part of the game. Even though
it wasn't a part of the original game.
I don't know. Ask Kojima.
Okay, well, I'll call him after this.
Yeah. Call him.
I will.
I mean, there's technically credits after every chapter. So, because the game is very much set up like a TV show, where each chapter has like its own set of credits, its own story, but there's like an overlying story in the whole game. If that makes sense.
It does. That's weird, though. It's like if you congratulated J.K. Rowling after every chapter of Harry Potter.
Yeah. Oh, it's very much like that, where it's, oh, yeah, directed by Kojima. Did you guys know that Kojima made this game? Did you guys know that?
No way.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, man, I mean, just to reiterate everything I kind of said last week, I really love it. It might be... I think it is my favorite Metal Gear game. It's weird. And I feel the same way, in a way, like how I feel about No Country for Old Men, where I think No Country for Old Men is maybe top three favorite movie of all time, but I don't think it's my favorite Coen Brothers movie. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Whereas Metal Gear Solid 5... I feel like it's one of my favorite games of all time, but I wouldn't say it's my favorite Metal Gear game.
That makes sense.
Because I think number 2 is the most bonkers and wheels off, And so I think number two might be my favorite as far as that goes. Mm-hmm. And even though number three is like, number three is everyone's favorite, I think number four is sort of the Majora's Mask of Metal Gear games, where it's aged extremely well throughout time, and it's become like people's favorite. I think number two might be my favorite, but number five might be my favorite game, one of my favorite games of all time. The gameplay is so perfect, and I actually redid my top 25 games list last night, because I've just been thinking about, I've been playing a lot of games recently, you know, this year, and just my interests have kind of changed and matured maybe, and playing a lot more games. I'm seeing what I really like in games. And so I'll give you my top 15.
Okay.
Number 15 now is, I put Star Fox 64.
Great.
Mainstay. Number 14, I keep knocking my headphones out. All right. Number 14, I put Mass Effect 2. Connor.
Nice.
Number 13, I put The Last of Us Part 2.
Whoa. Of all time?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, after I think 11, it's a little wishy-washy. Mm-hmm. I don't know, like, 11 to 25 could be rearranged. But I put Mass Effect 2 there. I put Last of Us Part 2. I put Legend of Zelda Wind Waker at 12. I put Journey. 10, I have BioShock.
The original?
And then, yes. 9, Skyrim. Elder Scrolls Skyrim. Number 8, I put the original Red Dead Redemption.
Okay.
7, I put Control from last year.
Dang.
I really, really like that game. Number 6, I put God of War from 2016.
Okay.
Not the God of War from 2005?
Nope. Not that one.
So Spider-Man made gotcha. Top 5?
Spider-Man I put like number 17 or something.
Oh, okay.
Which, again, I don't know. I was doing this late at night last night. I didn't have like a whole list of every game I've played. Mainly I wanted to do it for the top 10 because really after Control, God of War, Shadow of the Colossus, number 5. Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain, number 4. Number 3 is Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. Number 2 is Outer Wilds. And number 1 is still Super Mario 64. I don't think anything can surpass that. But, you know, Outer Wilds is the most recent favorite game. So, yeah. I think I like... And Rasputin did a really good video kind of talking about Outer Wilds, Shadow of the Colossus, and Breath of the Wild, and sort of how they're hard to replay because they're all about exploration, and once you've kind of explored it, it's hard to kind of go back. But I mean, I think that's what I like about a lot of these games is they're all kind of very open, and not like open world like there's things to do, but just open and what you can do. Like Outer Wilds, it's this big mystery and you have to discover things. Same with Breath of the Wild. Metal Gear Solid, it's sort of open in how you can complete missions. Shadow of the Colossus is open and sort of it's just massive in scale in general, and it's lonely and poetic. You know, God of War and Control are a little more. They're just really well made games. Control is just insane, just bonkers. I mean, it's just the atmosphere is really cool. I mean, Super Mario 64 as well is very open in what you can do and exploration and all that. So I think that's kind of what I like in games is the open exploration, not necessarily open world, but open in concept.
It's a really solid list, and I like your reasoning. You really like a game that is like full. I think that's a word I'd use to describe it. You really like games that like give you a lot without kind of telling you what to do, mm-hmm. you know?
Sure.
Yeah, you're a very adventurous player. That list reflects that.
Oh. Well, thanks.
Where was Fortnite again?
Fortnite did not make the list. It did not make the cut. I also put on here I guess after 15, I put Portal 2, Spider-Man, Pokemon Red and Blue, Uncharted 4, Twilight Princess, Red Dead 2, Arkham Asylum, Last of Us, Metal Gear Solid 2, and Donkey Kong Country.
DK Kunch, a classic.
DK Kunch, man.
I have not played any more of that.
I really like the Rewind. That really got me through it, or else I wouldn't have gotten through it.
Yeah.
What have you been playing, Austin?
So I've been playing almost exclusively Pillars of Eternity since last time. The Obsidian RPG that I mentioned last week. It's
the one that Steam recommended you.
Yeah, it's really good. It's got such a good classic, just like core RPG D&D feel to it. It's given me that like D&D kick that we haven't been able to do since the. Since the demic and everything.
You guys haven't done a Skype one or anything?
No, it's just too difficult to deal with.
Yeah.
But I've really been enjoying this. You know, I've for some reason I've just wanted to get into like a really complicated RPG for a while, and this has all the trappings of it with all the stats and math and everything, and it's real time like party based. And so I've just been having a lot of fun enjoying the story of that. It's really well written. There's a ton of like lore behind it. And so that's been fun. I've also played Fall Guys a little bit.
Yeah, I've been meaning to play that.
Yeah, we had a little lunch sesh.
Oh, wow.
It kind of sucks that you can only have four people in like a party at once. But I get it, because if you had like a ton of people, you'd be able to sabotage, you know, other players and stuff. But it's pretty fun. I mean, it's really good, and it's a real fun just diversion. It's like the smoking of games. It's just kind of a quick pick me up. It's fun with
your
pals.
It's a party game. Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, it's fun to play with your friends. And
maybe they can throw that on the digital ad. It's like the smoking of games.
Yeah. I don't think that's a good selling point.
It's the chewing tobacco.
Hey, it's addictive.
Yeah, it's
really, is that the one comment you hate from like people that don't play games, or like or how addicted are you to it? How addicted?
No, I don't mind it, because I do get addicted to games where I like.
I guess I'm addicted to Metal Gear.
Yeah,
right,
you
now.
Actually said that the other day, that you were like, I just want to go home and play Metal Gear right now. It's all I want to do.
Yeah.
At our
luckily though date. that doesn't that lasts for like a few weeks, and then I'm all right.
Yeah,
I don't have like a bad, I don't ever get like months and months,
right,
you know, but
keeps a little
now I'm addicted. Once I'm done with the game though, I usually am good.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'd hope so.
Once he's smoked the whole pack, he's fine.
Yeah, he doesn't need to smoke the whole pack.
Whatever.
Yeah, that's all I've been playing.
Connor?
I've been playing a little game this week called Minute. It might also be pronounced Minute. No, it's probably Minute. It's spelled M-I-N-N-I-T. It is a... the conceit of the game is that every single... You only have 60 seconds to complete the game.
Whoa.
Does this take place in a house? And it's like a husband and wife?
No.
Okay, it's like top down or?
Yeah, it has a Zelda, the original Zelda feel.
Because there's a game I know that's like a house situation where you're in a house.
No. Okay. This is black and white.
You're thinking of The Sims.
Yeah, you might be thinking of The Sims.
I'm not thinking of The Sims.
Are you thinking of Octodad?
Forget it. You're not. You don't. You wouldn't know.
Whoa.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you wouldn't know. You wouldn't get it.
Too obscure. Talkie sniff.
We got gatekeeper guy here. Anyway, so it's a game. You at the very beginning of the game, you pick up a cursed sword, and the curse is that your life only lasts 60 seconds. And so it is a. It's kind of like an adventure game in that. You have to go around and figure out, like, pick up new items to unlock different areas and talk to people and do things, but you only have 60 seconds to do them. But some things carry over, so, like, if you open up an area, once you die and start again for 60 seconds, you can get back to that area. It's still open. And the conceit of the game is that you are trying to destroy the company that created the swords that kill people in 60 seconds if they pick them up. So you are like working your way around town to like try to open up new areas and find new skills and stuff like that. It's pretty fun. It's like maybe a 2.5 hour game at most. But it's really fun. It's a cool style. The music's fun. It's interesting knowing like, cause you can, so there's like basically like a kill button. So you can just like press it and you die. And so like, I'll complete something and be like, oh, I've got 15 seconds left. I'll just kill myself and start again.
And where are you playing this?
I am playing this on the PC.
Okay.
But it is on Switch.
Ooh, nice.
Oh, the Switch.
If it was like $8.99 or less on the Switch, I would recommend getting it.
Okay.
If not, just buy it for whatever cheap thing it'll be on whatever downloadable PC service you want to use.
Sure.
Well, how much is it?
I got it as part of the racial justice and equality pack.
Oh, I think I have that pack.
Yeah, so it was part of the 5,000 games that I got.
Okay.
Totally worth playing. You should pick it up. Trey, I think you would like it because it's got that adventure game feel to it, but it's also...
No, I'll probably hate it.
Okay. We could try it. Austin, you might like it because it's a pick-up-and-play sort of game. So, like, you could pick it up and play it for, like, 30 minutes and get 30 runs in and then just be like, okay, I'll come back to this later.
This does look really cool. I'm looking at it right now.
It's fun, and it's black and white. It's got a cool aesthetic.
It's like Tamagotchi.
And, yeah, it does kind of look like Tamagotchi, actually. But, yeah, it's fun. I would recommend it.
Okay.
So
I'm in.
That's what I've been playing, and then I'm primed to play Origami King. And also, I'm super stoked. We'll talk about this later, but Subnautica's coming to Switch.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
All right.
It's coming early 2021, so not anytime soon, but I saw that and was so excited. Because your boy really wants to play Subnautica. So that is what I've been playing.
Nice. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we can do some news.
We can do some news. I've already cut some stuff based on time, so we're going to go right into it. We don't have time for the news song today.
That's fine.
Austin, do a quick news song.
News, it's time for news. It's new, it ain't, it's not old.
Perfect. First off, we got to talk about... Trey, do you love 80s nostalgia?
Oh, boy, Connor. There's one thing I love. It's four adolescent boys riding their bikes.
Oh, just, yeah,
no,
there's nothing else.
No, that's not what I was saying. It's four adolescent boys riding their bikes into the woods, and something supernatural happens, and they love the Ghostbusters and Ninja Turtles. Well, Ninja Turtles is more 90s.
What is this a reference to?
They love
to?
The Ghostbusters. Everything.
Stranger Things is what Trey's aiming.
The Goonies, Stranger Things.
The Goonies anything. Is literally set in the 80s, though.
Yeah, like
it was made in the 80s.
It was made, yeah.
So, like,
I love the Goonies.
That is
one of my favorite
movies
ever.
It's not capitalizing on nostalgia,
okay, no,
though.
You're right. I apologize to the Goonies.
It's creating nostalgia.
Right. I'm talking about Stranger Things.
You also can't be mad at Teen Wolf because it's the same thing.
Don't ever besmirch Teen Wolves, sir.
I watched the Hot Teen Wolves that was on MTV. Do you guys remember that?
I remember because I was a big Michael J. Fox fan when I was a kid, and I really liked Back to the Future, and really liked Teen Wolf because I was a wolf. I liked werewolves.
Okay.
And I remember in that movie.
Sure. Dude, you're like an onion. We just peel a different layer back every week.
I was very into werewolves.
Werewolf guy.
Is Adam a werewolf guy?
What age were you when you were into werewolves?
Oh, elementary school.
Okay, so you went werewolves to Lost, where you're making Lost fanfare.
That is a humongous leap, but yeah,
no,
sure.
I don't think so. So you went
from werewolves
to Lost fanfic and being a Lost admin on a website.
That is a humongous amount of time.
And then
you're missing when I had a Nintendo website.
And then you went to adopted school. And then you went to...
No, you're getting your timeline wrong.
And then after that is when you stopped playing games and became a Fiji bro. And then you... worked at the ticket, and then it's up to modern day.
Yep, 6 years later, here we are.
I guess so.
So, werewolves, talk to me. What allured you to the werewolf?
I always liked movies where people would transform and all that stuff.
Okay.
It's cool.
So you would choose of the monsters, you'd pick werewolf.
Yeah.
Okay. Austin?
Well, I mean, there's trillions of monsters. What are we?
I guess classic Hollywood movie monster.
Yeah, you can have whatever you want. I'll give you anything. If you want to be Cthulhu, you can have it.
So this is what I'm being. I'm not just picking my favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah, Trey picked
werewolf.
I want to be Cloverfield monster.
Okay. Ooh, that's a good one. I'm going to be District 9 monster.
I want to be Cthulhu.
No, they're aliens.
No, I'm saying the monsters in that movie were the people.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, so, we're the real monsters.
See, I gamed the system, so I just get to be a person.
Yeah, you're right, Austin. They're the monsters.
Anyway, so back to the story, which we didn't even talk about. There's a new Netflix video game docuseries called High Score. And guess what it's about?
Beeps and boops.
The 80s fads and the extreme 90s.
Hell yeah. The only time about games that matters.
We're having a conversation before the show, Connor, and how I think wrestling and video games are similar, where with video games, it's either bleep bloop arcade, Super Mario, or it's
Mortal,
esports.
Mortal Kombat.
And wrestling's similar, right?
Yeah, so I would say if you lined up the chart, like if you took a graph and you did a line graph as to where the most the peaks and valleys of wrestling and video games are at, you would see that they are similar and they overlap in a lot of places.
Seems like
so. Are you familiar with Danny O'Dwyer?
No.
He does this series on YouTube. And I guess, I mean, that's where he hosts them on YouTube, but he has like a Patreon where he could subscribe, and he does these documentaries. Like, they're extremely well done. They're very well done. They're documentaries on like certain video games or the story behind video games or video game companies. He's done stuff on Doom, the new Doom that came out, on how like kind of that, it was a very rough start to that game, and he did one on Rocket League, and he's done a lot of really, really well done documentaries. I would recommend watching them. They're pretty easy watches.
Are you recommending watching those and not watching High Score?
I would, actually, 100%. I would recommend watching Danny O'Dwyer's stuff. But he did tweet out this, for the love of God, somebody let us make the Netflix documentary series about games. I promise I won't have an arcade aesthetic and talk broadly about famous brands we've heard stories of over and over and over. And sorry, just reacting to a trailer I just saw for literally one of those. It's exhausting. I spent a long time trying in my own small way to explore talking about what makes games special. And still, when somebody gets the mass market opportunity, it's all bleep. Bloop bleep.
Here's the thing. If I have to see another thing about that terrible piece of Nintendo propaganda, The Wizard, again, I will murder someone.
Oh, yeah? The Wizard.
So here's the thing. The Wizard sucks as a film. It's not very good marketing for Nintendo either, and the people that like it are some of the most annoying adults I've ever met.
It's Sportsman. It's guy who says his favorite movie is
Hey guys, you remember The Wizard? Well, the only reason The Wizard existed
is it Sean Bass? Is that
I'm mostly yelling at Ty Walker.
Oh, Ty Walker, yeah. Yeah,
I'm mostly yelling at Country Force.
Country Force is something you yell at. Yeah, you don't.
Boom! Trey dropped the C-bomb. No, I'm mostly yelling at Country Force.
Okay.
Which, for anyone that's not familiar with the Dallas-based radio station, The Ticket, that will mean nothing. But just think of your generic late 40s.
I really like Ty.
Eli is
a nice guy.
Just think generic late 40s, early 50s white suburban dad, and you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, I digress.
Well, it's the same deal. It's people who
Yes.
You know, it's like when someone says GoldenEye is their favorite game ever. It's not. It's you had a great time playing it when you were a kid, but that is not your favorite game ever. You go back and play that game and it sucks.
It does suck.
It's like saying, you know, The Sandlot's your favorite movie. No, you're just saying that because you had a good time when you were a kid watching it. If you watch it now, it probably won't be your favorite.
I've never seen The Sandlot.
It's good.
That's another genre of movies that I have disdain for is kids' sports movies.
I haven't seen too many of them. I'm not the biggest sports movie fan.
You know what? If you want a good one, though, watch Kicking and Screaming with Will Ferrell.
Okay.
With his... he coaches a soccer team with former Bears Super Bowl winning yeah, coach Mike Ditka.
It's a pretty good movie.
Robert Redford. Who's the other one? Robert Duvall. Yeah.
Robert Duvall
is in it. He plays Will Ferrell's dad. So
yeah, they all are sort of in the same realm. It's all the 80s shit.
I don't think that movie holds. Some of that movie doesn't hold up super well because I'm pretty sure there's an Asian kid who's named Byong Sung, and Mike Ditka just calls him Bing Bong.
Hey, that's funny. Every
Mr.
time.
Mr. Jones.
Yeah, it's a short round, basically. Okay, yeah. Moving on to more news.
So don't watch that documentary, watch Danny O'Dwyer stuff.
So we got some more information after last week about the fight going on between... So it's actually two separate fights. The fight going on between Epic and Apple, and the fight going on between Epic and Google.
Yeah, because Google took them off the store as well.
Yeah, so they are separate because Apple filed two totally different lawsuits. They're not totally different, but I wanted to use it because it's close
enough. Two totally different lawsuits.
Exactly. So they are basically suing both Google and Apple for similar reasons, but slightly different because of the way Apple works. So let me just read some... basically, they are filing a lawsuit, an antitrust lawsuit, which if you've listened to Super Gamescast 64 for a long amount of time, if you're a regular, you remember we've talked Sherman antitrust lawsuits on this podcast several times, actually. So they filed against Apple for the Sherman Antitrust Act. Apple cuts 30% off of whatever your app makes, and Fortnite, Epic tried to undercut them by doing a payment option within the app that would circumnavigate Apple's 30% cut. So, why that actually matters, the App Store generated an estimated $61 billion in sales of digital goods and services in 2019, right? Mm-hmm. So... Apple's cut of the total would have been north of $13.72 billion in 2019, which is insane.
Yeah.
That's 28% of the company's total revenue for the calendar year, which is wild.
That is unbelievable that they make that much.
Exactly.
Still to this day.
It is wild. And so part of Epic's lawsuit is that... basically, you have to play by their rules. Like, there is no other game in town. If you don't like what they're doing, then you can take your ball and go home, but you don't have another option. Slightly less the case on the Google Store, or with, like, on an Android platform rather than iOS, because there are... You could just make your own app, right? Separate from the Google Play Store.
That's how, like, but with the Pornhub app works, basically. You have to download it directly from the company. It'll work on your phone, but you can't download it through, like, the app service.
It's also like if you download any of those emulator apps.
Right.
Same sort of deal.
No, actually, I got my Game Boy Advance emulator straight from the App Store.
Oh, well, never mind then. So, this is what they said in their complaint against Apple. Epic is not seeking monetary compensation from this court for the injuries it suffered, nor is Epic seeking favorable treatment for itself, a single company. Instead, Epic is seeking an injunctive relief to allow fair competition in these two key markets that directly affect hundreds of millions of consumers and tens of thousands, if not more, third-party app developers. Right?
Yeah.
So that's what they said against Apple. This is the exact statement against Google, but it's slightly different. So it says, instead, Epic seeks injunctive relief that would deliver Google's broken promise, an open, competitive Android ecosystem for all users and industry participants. Yes. So it's quite interesting, especially because Google got caught up in antitrust. I'm sorry, there was a previous antitrust litigation with Microsoft 2 decades ago. Microsoft was then forced to open up Windows for PC. So, it's exciting. I mean, it's an interesting sort of thing. And also, earlier this year, across the pond, Apple was being investigated for antitrust.
Hi, Governor.
Oh, hello.
Across the pond.
Yeah, Apple's being investigated for antitrust.
It's Stephen Jobs.
He's dead. Hey, Stephen, are you in heaven?
Oh, it's Stephen, not Stephen.
Are you in heaven or lower heaven?
I'm in lower heaven right now. Jesus doesn't like technology that much.
Can you say hey to Coco for me?
I will talk to the Coco one down here with my iPhone.
Would you say that iPhone is the phone of lower heaven?
It is the phone of lower heaven. That is true.
Is Steve Linux down there? I assume that's the guy
this
who did
character
Linux.
Character doesn't have a lot more mind.
Oh, that's a fun character.
Wow. Stephen Jobs.
Wow, that was awesome. So anyway, this is going to be a long battle, I think. And Epic is definitely trying to play the, hey, we're doing this for all you developers card, which is annoying. But realistically, so they did this, and then Apple is threatening to cut them out of the iOS dev tools as well as the Mac dev tools. Which seems like a healthy way to respond to this, I think. Maybe. Or not, I don't know.
I mean,
I'm all
Epic
in.
Epic is also acting like a kind of babies too.
Exactly. They're definitely in the wrong for trying to undercut like the terms of service.
Yeah.
But I do quite enjoy seeing two giant corporations duke it out.
When people are losing their jobs, getting furloughed and getting fired, and
yeah.
These two companies are squabbling over billions of dollars.
Here's the thing. The only people who can take on another large company, whether it's good or not, is another large company. I would say it's bad. I don't know why I qualified it. But it sucks that the state of affairs is really the only people who have the financial backing to take on another large company is a company with deep pockets.
Hey, bruh, that's capitalism.
So, yeah, it's capitalism using the Sherman Antitrust Act.
Crapitalism, more like it.
Got him.
Which is hilarious. Because I don't know that there could be there definitely could, but on the books, I don't know that there is a less quote-unquote capitalist law to be using to try to further capitalism.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Hey, why don't we try to put through some sort of antitrust litigation now? You think we could get something like that through the House now?
I think we need to do that with Super Films Cast. I think we need to break them up. I think they're too powerful.
Whoa.
Boom. Boom.
Break it into
four
separate podcasts.
Well, until Adam gets internet fixed.
Trey has to podcast alone.
What would the four separate podcast be? I mean, Spencer's not even doing it anymore.
Quit asking questions. Hey, we got some...
I liked your picture you made of Spencer, by the way, Austin.
Picture of Spencer?
Yeah, you drew a picture of Spencer the other day.
I don't recall that.
This really plays well to
it was Captain,
our audience.
It was Captain Quirk or something, or
Captain
whatever his name
Quirk.
Was.
Captain Quirk.
Captain Zap or Zod or Zigger or Ziggy.
Whoa! Whoa, bud! You gotta be careful.
It said Z. There was a Z.
I heard you. Captain Quirk, though. It sounds like something my dad would say. Trey, did you never watch Futurama?
I did watch Futurama.
You know what you should do?
I know who that is. Okay. But that did look like Spencer.
Are you not gonna... You should draw a picture of Kirk as Captain Quirk.
Captain Quirk? As Kirk?
Do you think Captain Quirk is a better name than Quail Man?
No, Quail Man's good. I think Captain Quark is from Ratchet and Clank.
Oh, makes sense.
Hey, we got to look at the new Xbox user interface for the Xbox One.
What'd you think about it?
Do you like blades because they're back?
Yeah.
What is that?
It's okay, I won't ever use it.
You remember how the old Xbox had like the little blades that you could scroll through, Austin?
Oh, yeah.
It's not exactly like that, but it kind of looks like that. It's fine. It's tiles. It looks fine. It looks like every user interface you've ever seen. Like, I'm looking at it right now, and it looks like how the YouTube app looks on my Amazon Fire Stick.
Oh.
So, it's not going to be anything crazy, but it's cool because it looks like it's going to be that same way on everything, including your phone. So,
okay.
It's kind of cool. You will also be able to connect to Xbox Live no matter... connect to Xbox Live friends no matter which device or version of the app they're using.
Ooh.
Yeah. So they're making it smoother and easier to let people talk in parties and chats across whatever you're using.
Well, that'll be nice.
Hey, what's your favorite part of Call of Duty? Do you think, is it shooting people?
No.
I like pressing F to pay respects.
Okay. Well, the next Call of Duty game is going to be set in one of the most explosive wars we've ever had.
The Civil War. Call of Duty Civil War.
I would play Call of Duty Civil War, I think.
Yeah, that would be fun.
That would be quite interesting.
Where, they would not do that in this.
You don't think they would touch Call of Duty Civil War?
No.
Because of the slaves.
How could you how would you tastefully do it, Trey?
You play as a slave.
Okay.
But he's fighting for the other guys.
Who are the other
yeah,
guys?
Yeah, who's your guys, Trey?
Fighting for the Confederacy.
Okay. Why would that be the way to approach it?
It's both sides are good.
Good people on both sides, I believe.
Good people
on
both sides, yeah.
Maybe I can play as the general who just went through the South and like ripped up railroad lines burned. Yeah, just burned everything. Is he the guy that the Antitrust Act is named after?
I think so.
Because after the war, they couldn't trust him.
Whoa, got him.
You're going to play as Robert E. Lee, and you're going to erect statues. But the second half of the game, that's only available after you get the credits.
You want your
is you tear you want, down the statues.
You want your Kemp spin on Robert E. Lee?
No.
Okay.
What is it?
That he was definitely a slave owner, and also he was not specifically, in most of the things I've read, he was not the one doling out the punishment, but he certainly would be there watching and encouraged his slave drivers to hit people harder.
Hmm.
So
to turn Trey on.
Yeah, so Not a good people on both sides sort of thing there. That's all. That was my Kemp spin. We're done. No, it's going to be set in the Cold War.
Yes.
You're going to play some of the famous battles of the Cold War.
I thought they did this before, though.
You're going to get to yell at McCarthy.
Didn't they do this with Black Ops?
This is Black Ops Cold War.
Yeah, that's kind of cool, though. I met spies and shit, you know?
You get to play as a senator yelling at Senator McCarthy in the...
This is just a Metal Gear game now.
At the Capitol. You get to play as John F. Kennedy trying to negotiate with the Cubans to try to get the missile crisis over with.
Are you going to be in the school book depository at one point?
No,
aiming that scope down.
You actually
are
going
to... little convertible to roll around. And you take a shot. That's the whole mission.
There's two jokes here.
Would that bode well in a game today? Where you are playing John F. Kennedy's assassinator.
Which one?
Ooh.
For some reason, people are totally okay with the Kennedy assassination. So yes, I think that they would be fine.
But you're actively doing it. Like you
I think it's almost like it's basically no Russian.
What about a Lincoln game?
Where he plays John Wilkes Booth?
Yeah.
Gotta shoot Lincoln in the head.
I mean, if you watch the so you shoot Lincoln in the head that you jump off the onto the stage and like break your ankle.
Yeah.
Have you seen that Whitest Kids You Know sketch about Lincoln?
Yes.
Okay, good. I'm just making sure. Trey, were you a Whitest Kids You Know guy?
I did like that show.
Okay.
What are you talking about?
There's this Lincoln sketch where John Wilkes Booth is sitting in the audience and Lincoln just keeps being a real jerk.
Yeah.
And I believe he just keeps yelling, John, 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 John. And then I think the punchline is that he goes and hammers him to death. Maybe. And like the punchline is he hammered him in the butt until he died or something like that.
Okay.
Let's just
because there's rumors about Lincoln.
Were there?
Yeah, that he was gay.
Yeah, I don't think they had any. I don't think they had any like actual credence to them, but there were.
I think
rumors.
They're pretty not substantiated.
I thought it was like more just like because there are like certain things with his wife was like abusive, and so he had to live with like another his like friend for a while and. And there was like a bunch of things just like historically it was different back in the day.
No, I mean he had like very close male friends. Like a guy he would always stay with.
Oh. Look, guys, I don't want to live in a world where you can't have a close male friend.
Yeah, I don't want to live in that world.
I have Connor. It's okay.
I have Connor. We're best friends.
No. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that I would also like for there to be on this spectrum, the ability to be close with another dude without actually having to sleep with him or wanting to sleep
yes,
with him.
100%. Most of my friends are male.
Mark that.
Got some weird things from Trey tonight.
I'm tired.
Hey, before we go further down this road, we got a Nintendo Indie World. Did you guys watch?
I did not, but since you watched it, Connor, you talk about it.
Let me give you some highlights. Takeshi and Hiroshi is a game where you play as what appears to be Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer-esque claymation people.
Okay. He had a very shiny nose.
So you play as, in real life, the claymation man Takeshi, who is making games for his younger brother Hiroshi. So you get to play those games as the younger brother, like on a game system that your brother's designing for you.
Oh, it's cute.
It's kind of cool. A game called.
Does everybody hate you until they realize your deformity actually will benefit them financially and you become a hero?
You have no worth till you're of use to other people.
Yes, that's the whole claymation Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer message.
A Short Hike is coming to the Switch, which if you got the Justice and Equality bundle, that is in there for free.
Ooh.
Way to go, Austin. You don't like Justice and Equality.
That's true.
Austin, a game for you, Garden Story.
Oh, is it that from is the producers of Golf Story?
No, it says probably the only thing as cute as anthropomorphized animals is animated fruit. Sure, you've got
Bug Snacks?
Hold on. Sure, you've got Bug Snacks coming out eventually.
Yes!
But there's plenty of talking food and Garden Story. Players take on the role of Concord the Grape to restore this Stardew-esque Valley Island.
Oh, Stardew Valley, Austin.
Did you see the Golf Story?
It got moved back. Yeah, it got moved back.
Guys, am I going to have to play Bugsnax?
Yes. There's a game called Spiritfarer coming out where you play as a... it's an inventory management game. But you basically are the spirit fair between people dying and going to the afterlife.
Ooh.
It looks really, really pretty. Austin, you should check it out. Okay. I think it might be up your alley. Trey, we've got co-op Untitled Goose Game.
Oh, the goose! Raking the lake. We need to finish that.
Okay.
I was extremely high when we played that.
Oh, I am aware. there's a game called Card Shark, which was another one that stood out. Where you play as a man trying to cheat at card games.
Nice. I like that's funny.
18th century French society. You play card games and you try to cheat. You win by cheating at them. And also, if you get caught, people get really pissed and kill you.
Nice. That's fun.
Yeah, so those are some of the highlights.
Games are fun. Games are fun, guys.
There's a roguelike.
They can be fun.
There's a roguelike dungeon crawler called Hades coming out, in which you play as a... you play, like, Greek mythology people, so that's exciting.
Like Kratos?
Yeah, it's kind of like Kratos, I guess. And then I've got one more news story, and then I've got one more story that I would like to play Count the Red Flags with you guys.
Okay.
So it looks like we are getting a Gotham Knight game, mm-hmm. It's going to be, it looks like it's going to be based on some of the releases, some of the teasing. Court of Owls. Are you guys familiar with any of that?
I am. I know Matt Birmingham talks about Court of Owls all the time.
Yeah, so WB Games Montreal has been teasing its next game, which is scheduled to be talked at DC FanDome. And it looks like it's going to be a Batman-themed game in the Court of Owls sort of scenario, which for the uninitiated, which I was before I read about it, is a high society, eyes wide shut, creepy cult sort of thing where the rich and high society work towards their common good.
It's funny how that's a two-hour movie, and the only part that's referenced is like a 10-minute part in the beginning.
Whatever,
eyes
man.
Wide shut.
Whatever, man. I never seen.
I mean,
it.
That's it's very memorable. I'm not saying it's wrong. I mean, honestly, I couldn't tell you what happens in the rest of the movie. It's been a long time, but it is funny.
Well,
sorry.
That's fine. No, you're good. So there's talk of that and a Suicide Squad game coming out.
Yeah,
that's
the one from Rocksteady.
Yeah, so we'll be paying attention to that as things more information comes out. But
it's over 2 hours, man.
Can we get to? We got to get to the meat,
so to speak.
The meat.
Yeah, I guess.
So to speak is a good one. And this is probably going to be the closer, just as a heads up. We probably will not do a year of the week this week, but we'll do one next week. So, guys, I read an article.
Okay. Do tell.
It is called Sex, Lies, and Video Games.
Oh, Inside like the movie Sex, Lies, and Videotapes. Filmscast.
Inside Roblox's War on Porn.
Whoa.
Austin.
I mean, I am the resident Roblox guy, I guess by default, since I played it for like 4 hours that one
week. So, I want to set the scene, I guess. Are you, either of you, I mean, Austin obviously is an expert, but do you understand how Roblox works?
Yes.
Before I get into this?
I'm going to explain
Trey,
it.
Do you?
Explain it. It's like a Gary's Mod, right?
I guess to a degree, but it's like a hosting platform for basically a physics engine where you can make and like open up your own games, basically, that people can come play. So you can like
is
set
that
up like
Gary's Mod?
Gary's Mod was more of sandbox. This is more like this has a centralized area that you can go. Gary's Mod was more like local or with your friends. This is like a worldwide thing on a server where like you...
All right, so it's like Dreams. Like, it's creating your own game, right?
Yeah, basically. And then you can go and like look up games and find them in the little Roblox.
Yeah, it's
Roblox
Dreams,
and
yeah.
Order stuff. Yeah, and so it's basically that. So you make your own games. There's thousands of them. You can kind of put in your own assets and everything. So some are really creative, some are real simple. It's just like, you know, whatever.
So another tenet to this important... Another important tenet to this is there is in-game currency that can then be made out of game. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you get X amount of Robux or whatever, you can then transfer it out for real money.
Mm-hmm.
So there are people who make things in-game. There are people who make specific stuff in-game to sell, which they then make money.
You sell your assets. You make a sword, and you can sell your sword. Yeah, that's kind of how Dreams works.
Yeah,
I'm sure
Roblox.
It's a model. That's
most of the people they interview in this article are like,
let's say you just want
to
make
13
art.
To
yeah,
16
like
year olds.
And
they're hacking Roblox to create what are called condos, which are like weird sex party Roblox servers, which are against the terms of service.
Sure.
But in these Roblox servers, you get real genitalia on your Roblox character.
What?
But
these are 17-year-olds doing this?
Between, you know, like 11 to 17, yeah.
Okay, 11 to 17.
So you get, but it looks like, imagine if it was a Lego character and you just put Play-Doh on it in specific places.
Yeah.
So you get to see weird Roblox characters writhing naked, like against each other or like doing weird sex acts. Kind of like as close as you can get to making a Lego person like jerk themselves off.
Ooh.
Anyway, they interview a bunch of people in here because people are making money hosting these servers. Hmm. And it's like a full-time job because the scrubbing software that Roblox has for pornography or abusive language or bullying is so good that these people have to run these condos, right? Like, they're making these servers. They're constantly having to switch the server name, make new servers, and the only way that they can get in contact with people and people know what servers are what is because they have separate Discords outside of that.
I was about to say Discord, yeah.
So there are people running these servers who also employ people because they have to go through not only who they let in to the condos, but also who is in their Discord. They constantly have to be monitoring their Discord because the terms of service on Discord can get you kicked off of Discord if there is too much gore or nudity or things like that posted within your Discord.
Whoa.
So to keep their business running, this business, mind you, that is having a weird sex dungeon.
And it's just, it's not like actual Avatar, you know, it's like Legos with Play-Doh.
Yeah, it's like Legos if you smush two G.I. Joes together. Like this, so you've got like Roblox characters dancing on stripper poles, and also, it's just very weird. But to keep this business afloat, right, one of the guys talked about how he paid $450 for basically the setup fee to create servers for condos, right? So to do this, he does this. He then has to somehow get that information out to people who are interested in being part of these condos. And the article does talk about one of the key important factors in these condos is that Roblox is very well moderated. So these condos are the only place that you could curse, for example, or talk about stuff, or like say specific things that might tend to be racist, might not tend to be racist, you know what I mean? Like, it's the only way, quote unquote, I guess, that you can talk freely in Roblox on their servers is by doing these pirated separate servers. So they talk about the servers themselves. They also talk about these kids in high school who are maintaining the servers, who are also paying people on their own time to moderate the Discord server that they run so that they can keep the people on the Discord server in the know about getting onto the condos on Roblox when, and definitely when, the Roblox team cuts them and takes them down.
What if it's an inside job? What if it's Roblox employees setting these up?
That's a great question. The people in question that they interviewed in this article are like, I think it's a 13-year-old, a 16-year-old, and a 17-year-old.
Uh-huh.
The hell?
And so these people are running all of these. And then they also talk about like the different approaches to these. So there's a couple of guys, the older kids are like, yeah, we definitely do not allow anyone who shows any twinge of like pedophile stuff into our server. And if they're in and they start doing stuff like that, we kick them out. Doesn't matter. Like, it's just not going to happen. We don't want it. And the other kid's like, yeah, I don't really care, because once they pay me, they're in. I don't care. He was then reported by the reporters doing the article to, like, the Department of Justice.
Oh, damn.
For that. But anyway, it's just a wild underground of people that I did not know existed. And I heartily recommend that you read this article because, number one, I didn't know that much about Roblox to begin with. Mm. But number two, It is wild, dude.
Just for...
Trey just wants to know
you
how
get
to
get off on that?
These.
Yeah, I need to get on. I need to find this out.
No, what were you saying, Trey?
I said, like, I guess just what do you get out of it?
Well, first off, I don't think it's sexual in nature. The article made it seem like it's really not sexual. Like, it is.
It's something to get away with, you know?
Yeah, it's like, getting away with something. It's, I did this. I hacked this. I made this happen. And it's other people being like, oh, dang, I'm not supposed to be here. I'm not supposed to be cussing.
Yeah.
I'm not supposed to be pretending that I'm on a stripper pole. I'm not supposed to be. And this game is aimed at kids. So a lot of these kids are just like, oh, look at me. I'm crazy, skirting the rules. I'm not doing what I'm not supposed to be doing.
Right.
And it makes it clear that it's not the majority of players who are
right.
doing this. It's like a 1% of the population, the general pop. So it's just very, very interesting. And first, I didn't know you could make money at it, but they did interview people who are like, yeah, I'm making like, you know, $450 a week or whatever.
Why would you pay? It boggles my mind, I guess.
Well,
but I guess
so
people are...
to gain access...
I don't want to sound old. Like,
no,
I'm
no.
not trying to sound like old man, but you just got to be that bored.
Well, to
There's
gain...
There's stuff you can do.
So to gain access to it, you have
There's
to...
There's better porn out there.
No, so to
gain... I get the appeal.
I get what Trey is saying.
To gain access to it, a lot of them, you have to buy something. So you have to
yeah.
buy like a piece of merch maybe that says the server name on it or something.
Yeah.
So you pay the virtual $5 and then you're in. He'll send you the code and you're in. Stuff
yeah.
like that. It's interesting. I would totally recommend reading the article. It's called Sex, Lies, and Video Games. And it's about Roblox. So, which is a game that has been around for 16 years.
Yep. 16 years.
That's insane.
Yep. Yeah. So Roblox, get into them condos, I guess. I don't know.
Get those condos.
I guess. Well, anyway, that was all. I read it and was blown away and wanted to share it with you guys.
No, that was good.
Great reporting.
Great
Thank
reporting,
you.
Connor.
Thank you.
Do we want to do Year of the Week or do we have time?
We do not have time, Trey. We do not have time. We're over time for this week.
All right.
You've got to go to work.
I do. We have to do a stupid Stars game.
Jeez.
Hope they lose.
Jeez, dude. This will age poorly if they win.
I know. It will.
Well, all right.
That's what I'm all about here is aging poorly. Let me just say something else that'll age poorly. Oh, I don't want to do that.
okay.
PlayStation 4 will outsell Xbox Series X.
Ooh.
See how that ages.
Okay.
All right, we'll see you guys next week.
We will see you guys next week.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
I had a dream that I was floating to your house in the summertime. I had a dream that I was 300 feet tall in the summertime. These visions, I can change them, sort and rearrange them. A world of understanding, which you have never seen before. I had a dream that I was floating to your house. I had a dream that I was 300 feet tall in the summertime. How could I make you understand? We are radiant beams of light, shining bright even when we are small. In the fall. This is where it picks up. The snare coming in. Feels good. Gets you hyped. People know the chorus by this point, so they can sing with you when you go. I had a dream that I was floating to your house. In the
the summertime. I had a dream that I was 300 feet tall.
When was it? Tell me.
In the summertime. These visions, I can change them, sort and rearrange them. A world of understanding, which you have never seen before. I had a dream that I was floating to your house in the summertime. I had a dream that I was 300 feet tall.
I think you guys are a meal.
In the summertime.